May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Rivers and the inhabitants of the watery element are made for wise men to contemplate and for fools to pass by without consideration. A quote from The Complete Angler. In the mid-1600s, Isaac Walton wrote a still much reprinted book, even these days, celebrating the sport of fishing called The Complete Angler. Complete spelled with E-A-T, not E-T-E at the end. It is a collection of discourses and poems and proverbs extolling the virtues of casting a line into the water and patiently waiting for a good catch. In fact, Walton finds many connections with daily life and how fishing teaches patience, humility, and appreciation. I mention this because Jesus' opening call to Peter and Andrew is for them to follow him, and in turn, they'll become fishers of men, or fish for people in our less than poetic translation that we have this morning. But Jesus isn't calling them to do something that he isn't already doing himself. Jesus is himself the supreme fisherman. Christ is the complete angler, if you will. Now, the bait that Jesus uses is the gospel of the kingdom. God's reign of perfect love, truth, and justice is at hand wherever Jesus is. And he longs to retrieve as many fish as possible from the stagnant cesspools of life apart from God, and to transport these fish into a new heavens and new earth where abundant life, eternal life, is the rule of the day. And it's not bait for the sake of deception, as we might use it, hiding a hook that will snag us from safety or bring us ultimately into the frying pan. Our Lord's intentions are not to consume us, but to bring us into the fullness of goodness that he has intended for us since he first created us. Something else to consider. Jesus doesn't catch what doesn't want to be caught. He issues an invitation. He summons his disciples to follow him. He doesn't stick them with a spear, and he doesn't pull them up from the water in a net against their will. Jesus only wants the willing fish from among humanity. I remember an old preacher once say that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman when talking about how God inspires us to come to him freely instead of forcing us to submit to him. Our Savior is not in the business of forcing himself on those who aren't ready or willing to embrace the good news, no matter how wonderful that news truly is. Of course, this might rub some of our more Calvinistic brothers and sisters the wrong way. They might retort that the sinful nature of humanity and the sovereign control of God means that human free will means that it isn't truly free. We can't truly choose God on our own. We even see some vestiges of this line of thinking in the 39 articles that you see in the back of the prayer book. Article 12 says in part that God hath constantly decreed his counsel secret to us to deliver from curse and damnation those whom he hath chosen in Christ out of mankind, and to bring them by Christ to everlasting salvation as vessels made to honor. But the fuller context of the scriptures ties words like predestined and chosen to Jesus first, and then to us by our association with him. Additionally, the Spirit of God is always present wherever the word is read or preached. stepping into the darkness of our sin and readying the hearts of listeners to be free enough to decide for themselves if they will follow Jesus. And if that weren't enough, there's no indication of Jesus ever doubting people's decisions to accept or reject him on their own. If free will were merely an illusion, you'd think that if free will were merely an illusion, we'd neither be held accountable by God for our actions nor promised eternal rewards when we take a step of faith. This is, of course, assuming that our God is indeed the benevolent lover of our souls that the Bible paints him out to be. Our Heavenly Father takes the initiative, of course, in extending his grace, but the ball is in our court whether to follow him or not. So, if we accept that the kingdom of God is more than mere bait, but the truth, and if we respond positively to Christ's invitation for us to follow him, he then equips us to be about the very thing that he's doing. He makes us fishers of men and women. I'm glad our current presiding bishop is very outspoken and gung-ho about evangelism, and that our own bishop has been nudging our parishes to be more actively engaged in publicly presenting the good news of our Lord's love. I think for too long that Episcopalians have allowed other concerns to stifle the mission of the church, the reason why the church was created for in the first place. We need to be showing and telling others about the gospel. And it's not a complicated gospel either. It's a love story. It's about a God who loves us so much that he made us in his own image as our Father, that he's come to rescue us from the deadly snare of sin through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and to fill us with his own Spirit to work out all the good things that he's promised until Jesus returns to reign over a reunited heaven and earth. And something else that's great about this gospel is that we each experience it in unique ways that can touch people personally. It's the same message of love, but your own stories about God's love for you might be just the thing that convinces a doubting person's mind or heal a broken person's heart in a way that my story or someone else's might never do. None of us is exempt from being evangelists in our own way. As we reach out with Christ's love and stories that of how his love has made a difference for you and for you and for you, both by what we say and what we do, we'll see virtues develop in us that may never have taken root in any other way. Virtues like patience, humility, gratitude, and compassion. Also, we'll be on the cutting edge of seeing God's transforming power at work as we watch people awaken to the love of Jesus and begin a new life following him. And finally, we'll see Jesus' own image being formed in us as we set about doing the very thing that we see him doing in today's gospel lesson, respectfully and winsomely fishing for people who will follow him in order for them to enter the kingdom of God. Prayerfully receive this blessing from the Complete Angler. Let the blessing of St. Peter's Master be upon all that are lovers of virtue and dare trust in his providence, and be quiet and go a-angling. Amen.